Okay, is everybody back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, are there any announcements? Frank, why don't you talk a little bit about last week's presentation?
Sure,
we're in the
sure.
Room.
So,
because one of the things, just so that you know, I really had no idea who I was presenting to, since we were introduced, but they weren't introduced.
Yeah, well, the tight schedule. So let me introduce you to who was there quickly. So
describe what it was first
sure.
for everybody
yeah,
else.
Yeah, sure. So the NOAA Education Council had asked for the Clean Project team collection in partnership with NOAA to present, you know, all of that to the NOAA Education Council. Who the NOAA Education Council are is there are 16 major education programs in NOAA. Some of you may know some of them, but may not have known that there are 16 of us. And in NOAA, we coordinate ourselves under something called a council. There's a research council, there's other councils, there's an observations council. We're one of them, and we're one of the more effective councils. But you know, the NOAA Education Strategic Plan is what binds us together in a voluntary capacity. So it's an interesting organization, but really the...
And there's 16 education initiatives, or what are they
programs.
Called?
They're called programs.
Okay.
So the Environmental Literacy Grant Program, BWET,
mm-hmm.
which is the Bay Watershed Education and Training Program, Ocean Exploration has an education program, the Teacher at Sea Program, mine is the Climate Communications and Education Program, and the list goes on. Sanctuaries is a program, and
the
so
sphere.
On. Science on the Sphere is not a program per se. It is a initiative that leverages the across multiple programs. So, you know, there are cross-cutting initiatives and things that show up here and there, and so that's one of those things that cuts across a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
So the purpose of the presentation was for the Clean Network Project Collection and Partnership to brief the council. And one of the and Scott, this is important for you because Sarah Schettinger, who represents the Environmental Literacy Grant Program, was on the line. And those of you who don't know who she is, she's an awesome lady. But in this context, she's one of the co-leaders of ocean literacy, which is the progenitor of climate literacy and energy literacy.
Yeah, and we've been working on the background on some linkages between next generation science standards and the ocean literacy stuff, and then we have a presentation tomorrow at NMEA on it.
Exactly.
National Marine Education Association.
So one of the things that we've talked about in our network, the Clean Network, is the ability to extend and leverage the work we've done in the Clean Collection to other literacy frameworks. So it worked beautifully to go from climate into energy, which was a natural. But, you know, ocean and atmosphere and earth still float out there as uncollected initiatives. I mean, the ocean literacy have done some amazing work, but still the ability to interoperate between ocean, climate, and energy is a very, you know, healthy ecosystem of learning space. But, you know, until the tagging and collection building processes and catalog development is done, the synergy is not complete.
Right.
And so one of the things we were doing was showing the process of a clean collection and the network in developing that work and then seeing if there's ways to explore partnerships to extend that beyond just the climate and energy. That was one of the focuses of the group, and then also the impressive, you know, as of today, it's 582 resources that have passed the collection. So that was a new benchmark for me.
Yes, as soon as I talked to Anna yesterday, she told me that they were pretty much all cataloged. They just need the final Q&A when she got back from her trip.
Right. So. Tamara, does that answer your question?
Yep, sure.
Give you a little context.
Sure. So, I thought it went really well. I don't know if there's any follow-up that we need to do, but Frank and I can talk about that at some point.
Well, so just the final point on this, Tamara, is that one of these things that I think that our network You know, that's the education community at NOAA is a network, right? So this is a network-to-network kind of transfer. But at its bottom line is that it's an informational briefing. And I think that, you know, you never know where those briefings are going to go. And as I think it's the more we're informed of each other's work, the more likely those synergies and collaborations that take a good idea further is really the point of what was.
So, Frank, it would be helpful to me if you could send me an email with a list of people who were there, because, like I said, just so everybody has context, we were a 30-minute slot in a 4-hour period where the council was meeting. And we were like 2 hours into it. So while we got introduced to people who were there, they were not introduced to us because we had this very strict time frame to talk in.
Right.
So
right.
I really didn't know who I was talking to.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I can give you the people that are involved in that and the names of the programs.
Okay, great.
Sure.
Other announcements?
Scott, I just mentioned that Mark and I had a nice conversation, I think on Friday, let me see my notes, whatever, the 19th. And Mark has made a number of suggestions for programs for the fall. And so he's already sent me some emails and various things, so I'll be following up with that. So there's a number of different ideas for...
Okay, for the Clean Network?
Yeah, that's
good.
So this
great.
Also starting that process. I was trying to get some stuff done this morning, but it's good. And, well, Tamara, you and I will work, of course, on that, and everyone else is certainly welcome to join us in developing the program for next year.
Yes. Other announcements? Well, one other thing that I wanted to remind everybody of, I've sent out emails, but you should consider sending out emails yourself for the AGU and GSA meetings. I mean, we are in the final throes of getting invited speakers into the system for AGU by tomorrow. But now's the time to start really pushing hard on advertising the sessions and having people submit contributed abstracts. The deadline is August 6th. And we have a total of 9 sessions, 8 of which people can submit abstracts to. In AGU, and we have 2 sessions in GSA. The abstract deadline is the same day, unfortunately. And so, you know, it's a little bit hard. The ones at GSA, there are only 2 sessions, and they're just more condensed because there are just fewer people and fewer papers that are presented there. We have one that's focused on the activities, meaning informal education, formal education at both K-12 and higher ed. And then we have one session that is focused on evaluation and research in climate literacy and education. So there's those 2 sessions also. And the GSA meeting is in late October. And AGU's in early December. And I think probably everybody on the phone kind of knows what the AGU sessions are, so I'm not going to go through them in detail. A little bit update about the union session, because that's been that's just very different, and I didn't realize even how different it would be from the other sessions. But we have one session called Climate Literacy, the Role of the AGU Scientific Community in Climate Change Communication and Engagement. In union sessions, you can only have invited speakers, 3 to 5 invited speakers. So Frank is also a co-convener of this session along with Michael Mann and Ed Maybach. And we put together a program in which we then invited specific speakers. And I could go to the document and tell everybody let everybody know what this session is going to be like, because it should be really interesting. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Okay, so, that's the wrong one. Okay, here we go. So basically, it's going to be four talks. We're going to start with a session overview that's sort of laying the context, but then the first talk will focus. The goal is to provide the AGU scientific community with concrete takeaways that they can apply either to their own practice or their group's practice or their organization's practice. And so the first talk is focusing on communicating more effectively to public audiences and creating an effective team. And I think we have Stephen Lewandowski is going to be giving that invited talk. And then the next one is communicating more effectively with decision makers and how to build trust. And Anna Unruh Cohen is going to be giving that invited talk. And then we have a talk on turning climate science data into practical insights and actionable decisions. And Richard Moss is going to be giving that talk. And then the last one is changing the ecology of climate communication at the organizational level. And Lauren Chambliss is going to be giving that talk. So, and then what we're going to do is have a panel discussion with at least those four speakers as members of the panel, and we'll have about 20-some minutes for that too. So the idea is to really have concrete takeaways for the scientific community to come out of this session. And what we will try, in fact, I'm pretty sure we'll be able to do this, to do is to make sure that this session doesn't conflict with any of the other oral climate literacy sessions. It will probably conflict with the poster session, but the poster sessions will be all like half a day, and this will only be 2 hours. So people can sort of plan to have their poster session, or you know, actually be at their posters at, you know, other than this particular time. Mm-hmm. So that's the plan, along with our 8 sessions, which we're tentatively planning to schedule Monday through Wednesday, and then on Thursday we will have a workshop that crosses across all of the sessions to bring people together to discuss next steps in terms of how to move various of these agendas forward. So that's kind of what we're planning. And if people have avenues, I will send out the email again that with the entire list of sessions, both the GSA and AGU sessions. I encourage you to either forward that list on as it is, or if you have a community which is focused on a particular area, you don't need to distract them with all the sessions. You can send them the particulars for one of the sessions. And I think in the email I include the titles of the sessions and then attach a document that has the descriptions of all of them. Otherwise, the email would get really long. So that's where we're moving now, and hopefully it will work out.
Okay, and did you say the time that the union session or the day?
We won't know that yet. The way this works is that the only one that we know for sure is that the workshop that I mentioned will be on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And the plan has been to have all of the climate literacy sessions on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Part of the reason for that is that the K-12 participants have an NSTA meeting at the end of that week and need to leave. And so AGU understands that we need to try to get all of these sessions on Monday through Wednesday. What I did last year was they let me help schedule all the sessions, and we tried to schedule all the oral sessions in the morning half of the day and the poster sessions in the afternoon. And there were 2 days in which there were sessions, oral sessions that conflict, and you're just not going to be able to avoid that completely. So there will be, and we'll try to make it so that it makes the most sense of which ones would be the most different, and people wouldn't be going to both. But we won't be able to avoid that completely. What I'm hoping is that union session will be one of the only climate literacy oral sessions that will be in the afternoon, so that it wouldn't conflict with any of the other oral sessions. It would only conflict with a part of one of the poster sessions. So that way it gives everybody the opportunity to come to this union session. Mm-hmm. You have to understand how unique this is. This is the first, we've been told this is the first time since they've had the union sessions in this mode that there has ever been an educationally focused union session. Mm-hmm. So it's not really happened before, and what it gives us, usually at AGU, we end up talking to a lot of educators, and we're always talking to ourselves, but we're striving to talk to that scientific community to engage them more fully, and this is a great opportunity to do that.
Although Tamara, I think it probably is fair to say, and I could be wrong here, that we're using the word education, and you know, it's more a literacy session than an education section.
That's true, so I don't know what kind of term you want to use for it, but if all of our other, well, let's put it this way, all of our other sessions, if this session wasn't a union session, it would be in EDU. It would be considered.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, just because, you know, the term education is, you know, it's a kind of a legacy issue, though, because in
right.
EDU, if it's not science, you know, it's, as soon as it gets close to this, it becomes education, not, you know, education, communication, and engagement, or some wider ecosystem
right.
of that, you know.
Well, I think that AGU uses the EDU designation for anything that's not pure hard science.
Yeah.
I'm willing to accept that decision. I mean, you know, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
But it is.
Well,
I mean,
I
have
to tell you, when
people...
I first started trying to have education sessions at AGU, there was no place, there was no EDU. And so the only place to have it was a union session. So I can tell you that I did have, there was, I chaired the AGU's Global and Environmental Change Committee at the time, is now a focus group. I chaired that for a few years in the late 1990s, 96 to 2000. And we had we put together AGU's first position statement on climate change.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, and so I did put together union sessions that were focused on, it wasn't climate explicitly, it was earth science education focused sessions. But that was when it wasn't, having a union session wasn't quite so restricted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Amber, do you know whether that particular session is going to be webcast or at least recorded? Because I think most of them are, if I remember.
I know some of them are. It would make sense to me that the union sessions are, because they have a very limited number. They only have 10. Mm-hmm. There's one in the morning, I don't know that there's only 10. They never conflict with each other, so there's only one in each time block. So I guess they could probably have up to 4 a day at the most. So they might, this might be ones that they automatically record. I've never really known how they've decided which ones they record.
Well, it's always helpful, of course, having a copy of it available.
Yeah, no, I can... Once we get past this deadline, so the time frame here is that the abstracts will be due August 6th, and the conveners of the sessions can then organize the will probably be asked to combine, so that I think if you get at least 20 papers, you can have an oral session by yourself, and you might have one or two papers added to your session, but you don't have to combine. But if you get something like 10 papers, if my session gets 10 papers and Scott's session gets 10 papers, we might be asked to combine. And what they allowed me to do last year was they allowed me to suggest how to combine the sessions, which made a whole lot. The previous year they just did it haphazardly, and people were very unhappy. But because everybody seems, you know, kind of knows what the other sessions are, there becomes a clear way of how to combine. And once that happens, you have to write a new title and a new description, and then you organize a session. And once the sessions are organized, then they schedule the time blocks, because then they know how many talks you have. And so last year we combined things so that some of the sessions got 2 oral blocks and a poster session, and some got 1 oral block in a poster section. So
one thing, Tamara, that you know, somewhere you know, well ahead of this early December, we should double back on is the, you know, how to extend all this, you know, amazing work that happens at AGU into the social media space. Because, I mean, you know, Scott, you're spot on, but those are just some of the presentations, right? I mean, think about all those other.
No,
other
actually, I just sent an email to Martha. I don't know if Martha's on the phone.
I'm on.
Oh, hi, Martha.
Yeah, you know, another thing I was thinking about to add to that is when you do send out these, you were just talking about sending out an email people could forward. We should also just have a little paragraph about clean at the bottom of any single email that you send. You know, and maybe you could say, you sign up for the listserv here, and then a link to, I guess it would be you.
Yeah, so absolutely, Frank, because I did set up the Twitter account, and I'm kind of planning first to pilot it at GSA, which is much smaller, but to try to have a Twitter conversation during the meetings about what's going on. So,
but, you know, another thing in there is you know, SlideShare. You know, there are other pieces of the, you know, Facebook ecosystem that could be utilized to extend that out, because so much work goes into getting to our annual conferences that anything we can do to kind of spread that out is a good idea.
Right.
Yeah, and in terms of SlideShare, Andy Repkin's following on SlideShare is unbelievable, and I'm sure if you sent Andy a SlideShare, he'd somehow work it in. I mean, I also have a SlideShare account that is fairly popular. So if we had a PowerPoint,
okay,
just inviting people, you know, I keep saying for advertising clean, we're just trying, basically the number one thing was get people to sign up for the listserv, and the second thing is why they should.
Mm-hmm.
For 1,000 goal.
Yeah, so.
Mm-hmm.
In my email to you, just I said I could talk with you tomorrow morning. Maybe Frank, there were a couple little other members on the committee in the last call. Maybe we could have a conference call. I mean, one thing, at least Frank.
Yep.
I don't know who's on this call.
Let's see.
Doug, also from.
We have about 5 or 6 people on the call.
Okay.
So.
Because we could do something right away, right before you send out that email. I think we're kind of ready to go. I think it's fairly. It's a very simple messaging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you? I mean, I know at one point we had talked about the messages, and did you? Did you do anything more about refining those, or is it just sort
well,
of as we left the conversation?
I did, because Frank then sent me the mission, or the other people sent me the mission statement, and so we just integrated that. But I still think that at the end of the day, if we have one message for a short period of time, it's to join the listserv.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we do have the mission, and the mission needs to be worked into the message, you know, what we thought we would do first is get the listserv up. And what happened was I integrated into the creative brief the mission that another group came up with last fall. The mission of clean.
So Tamara, just for if you weren't part of those conversations, the mission was came out of the NCSE event just after AGU last year, with a goal of, you know, sizably increasing the energy and climate literacy of the nation. I can't remember exactly the wording, but, you know, we as a network haven't ever really come up with a goal that we're trying to achieve together, as crisply as that document had done. So, you know, if we agree that that's the language we want to use, but it's, you know, I'm looking at the Facebook page right now, and it's you know, it just says what we are. It doesn't say what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
So the about part of the Facebook page is yeah. Well, yes, it does. No, it does. It just doesn't show. But anyway, I mean, we may want to think about, you know, how do we reposition that so that it's people come to that for a purpose. And you know,
right.
If you agree that that's the you know, maybe we should talk about whether or not there's any modifications to that purpose. That sounds like I read it recently, and I find it to be a compelling goal.
Yeah, I think sizably increasing the climate literacy of the nation was the main gist of it.
Yeah.
Okay. But then people started talking about mitigation.
Well, I think one of the things we would like to happen, but, is that it leads to more action. But I think that maybe just stating the goal is increasing the climate literacy of the nation is probably will be more inclusive of people.
We should probably go back to the original language, because the other thing is it did was pulled in the energy piece, which was good.
Oh yeah, we were going to add energy. And then mitigation really falls underneath that, because when you've increased the climate literacy of the nation, mitigation is part of that literacy, I think. So I don't think you need to add it. Also, one way to sizably increase the climate literacy of the nation is to have materials available to educators and scientists, politicians, et cetera. And so that is how CLEAN chose to, to sizably increase the climate literacy of the nation so far. But it's not just creating materials. It's also participating in these conferences and making sure the conferences always have a component. So when you go to the conferences, having a little something to bring with you, which you will have by October and December, we'll definitely have something.
Okay, well, let's plan to talk tomorrow on moving that forward specifically.
Also, I don't know if you knew that Frank fiddled around with the logo. We can talk about it.
But we're not changing the logo. We're just not changing the logo.
Well, I didn't mean to put it that just Frank did. We did comment that we wish the logo said Climate Literacy Network in it.
Yeah. No,
it's actually not the Climate Literacy Network anymore. It's the CLEAN Network, or I sometimes refer to the entire thing as the Climate Literacy and Energy Awareness Network. I never say network. I know that's redundant, but
we talked extensively, because there weren't very many people on the call, about how CLEAN is really a bad thing to call it, because it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of education just to talk about what CLEAN is, because CLEAN is one of the most popular words on the internet, and it includes cleansers, it includes every kind of, thing from laundry detergent to dishwashing and everything else. And so, and then you could get into the drug stuff. So we really felt like we needed to somehow clarify in the communications that it was a climate literacy and energy network.
Mm-hmm.
Because to educate somebody what CLEAN means would be to, like, educate somebody on what Nike means, and they had, like, billions and billions of dollars.
Well, so CLEAN is the recognized logo now, but if you want to talk about it in a succinct way, you can call it the Climate and Energy Literacy Network. It just didn't spell out CLEAN, so.
Well, I think that even if you stacked those words next to the logo at all times, you'd be better off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Interesting.
And if you had to lose something, I'd lose the logo. Like, if somebody gave you a really small space to be a sponsor or have your name as an in-kind sponsor, which it would be a good thing to pursue, as long as whatever pops up on the screen or on the website, it says energy and literacy, climate energy.
Well, what it means is Climate Literacy and Energy Awareness Network. We can put those words in.
If you look at the so I don't know if you guys can but if you look at the CLEAN network website, Facebook page, if you look at it, I mean, it's the logo's there in the, you know, the little image, and then it spells out who we are and puts parentheses clean. So I think, you know, if we were going to look at that as from a branding clarity perspective, it makes a lot of sense. But, you know, one thing I would recommend we do is when you read the about page, I think mm-hmm. that this is a little bit we've progressed past where this is, because this is pretty much only focused on the clean collection and the
mm-hmm.
clean.
Yeah, so we can update that.
Yeah, I think that you know, and then so I would ask us to go back to the mission, and this was a one piece of the mission, but I think that what the summit at NCSC did was it gave us a little bit more of I like the substantially and measurably improved climate and energy literacy to
mm-hmm.
provide, you know, I mean, there's some nice language here. Now, if we want to kind of own and socialize and modify this language, that's fine. But I think there's some. I mean, we were there. So
mm-hmm.
I see this as part of our community's work. So anyway, I think that there's some things that we could do to kind of get this updated.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah, at least the tagline should be, that should be the tagline. I mean, I think we could write the tagline in under 6 words. I wouldn't want something to have more than 6 words, but that's what I have on the creative brief. And to answer your question, I did update the creative brief after that call.
Okay, good.
So
did you send it out?
No.
Okay.
I felt like I should talk with you first, Tamara, because if I just start sending out creative...
Yeah, no, could you just send it to me?
Yeah, because when Frank sent out a logo, he must have gotten 100 comments.
Yeah, no, don't send it. I didn't mean to send it out to everybody. Just
it's just you.
It was like I'm sending back, you know, could it be a little more this? And someone else says, that's great. It could be more. So anyway, we just need the process in place. And... so we can quickly get into some approvals. And I'm going to have a PowerPoint. I will attach Frank's logos, too, and then we'll have how many people should be on this call and what time would be good for it.
Well, anybody who's on the call now can join it. Let me pull up my calendar here.
I can't do it until late tomorrow afternoon.
Okay. I can do it after 2, anytime after 2.
Should we do 3 p.m. EFT?
I won't be able to be there tomorrow.
When could you be on a call?
I have a window between basically 2 and 2:30 is my only availability tomorrow. So
could
I don't know if that works for
anything. Could you do 2 to 2:30, Tamara?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
And I will send a PowerPoint in the form of a PDF that has, you know, it'll have us taking through the process, and we'll include the logo.
Does anybody else on the call now would like to join this conversation?
Yeah, it's definitely not exclusive.
Who is that?
I said it's definitely not exclusive.
Right. So, well, we'll use the same phone number as we use for this. And I will just send an email out to whoever tells me now that they want to get it. So that's Frank and Martha and myself at this point. Does anybody else want to get that email?
Sure. This is Mary Jo Leiper.
Okay.
And, you know, from this little committee, we'll reach out to the other people who have been involved, because there are quite a few people who have been involved off and on in
right.
the conversation. So we'll just have something that we agree upon to send to the larger subgroup, which would include.
Sure.
Okay. Great. All right. I'm putting together the strategy and the creative brief for tomorrow at the 2:00 meeting, and I'm going to send it to Tamara, and then she'll distribute it for the meeting.
Okay. That sounds good.
Okay.
All right. Are there other things people would like to discuss or any further comments on this or the AGU and GSA meetings? We are also going to the NAAEE meeting, but the way that works is people submitted just individual talks and presentations. We will have a clean network roundtable, which just means an informal discussion. We'll have a table and what was really nice this time was that I think I had 5 or 6 people who said that they would be willing to participate in that from the Clean Network, so we'll have a lot of people at that table to talk to anybody. Go ahead.
So one thing, maybe this is for Scott, and I don't know who has the ability to do this, but in the Facebook page, one of the things that I think we're not utilizing enough is the events part of the website, of whatever you want to call it, social media space.
Well, I'm having Sarah Hill update that, so
There's nothing in here since December of 2011.
I didn't mean that. I meant the Facebook page, the postings. So if you want Sarah to do something with the events, we can have her do that too.
Yeah, that would be good.
Well, I mean, but the other piece of this, Tamara, is I'm wondering what maybe at some point in time, maybe I don't think tomorrow is probably not the right time, is talk about how does the network, co-generate this content in this space, and if it's going through a single person, being clear about how that works and how do we move that content forward, so that there's multiple people have the ability to generate content here, then it kind of will generate more consistent.
Well, one of the things we did talk about wanting to move towards is right now it's been a one-way street. We post things and it just disseminates information out. One of the things we talked about wanting to do was to ask for people's comments on things so that the conversations get started. And so we do need to address that, and maybe we can sort of brainstorm some ways to do that. But let's get this other social media thing going first, and then we can address that. But I can certainly have Sarah update the events page in terms of things that are going on.
Sure. Well, I think that does address the issue that in our smaller conversation we talked about strengthening the word network. And that's why we were kind of even hoping that, the logo might look more like it indicated a network. But the network aspect of it, I think, is strong. The strength of it, because there's so many different organizations, but this is an all-inclusive network where you're sharing content, you're posting content, hopefully aggregating everything from games to educational materials and showcasing these at conferences, and that's part of a big network. And
actually, what we should do is one of the very first talks in September, maybe what we should do is to present the results of the survey we took, which sort of gets at what the network is.
Yep.
Yeah, we haven't done that
yet. As of April 1st, more or less.
Right.
I think just talking about the network is a really good topic.
Well, we'll put that down then.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. I like it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a good place to start.
So just so everybody knows, we did that survey. It went from about March 18th to April 8th, and we took all of the data. We put together a paper that we submitted to JGE on the – and one of the things that I was trying to get at there was that, a lot of the times we're talking about engaging scientists and educators. And it is true that the bulk of the members of the Clean Network are scientists and educators. However, in asking people what their professions were and what organizations they represented, we found that there were 21 different professions represented in the Clean Network and 60 different professional organizations. So, and what we'd like to do is to sort of build up that diversity in terms of our membership, because I think that that's what addressing the social issues surrounding climate change is going to require. So anyway, they were really interesting results.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why Frank's did a logo that looked a little more like an atom.
Yeah, no, I did see it. I did see it. It's just.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did see it. I forget exactly.
And just to be clear, Tamara, it was just an idea. It wasn't it wasn't a hard push.
Yeah, no. So, I understood.
It's creative,
always
just creative his creative ingenuity just came to light and
I know. Frank's background is in the arts, so I understand completely. You know, we don't want to squelch creativity, so I'm fine with that. Okay. Anything else?
You know, I'm wondering if in this conversation we could have a focused, like, just, you know, scrub our social media space together sometime, where we just kind of walk through the, you know, if we all got on either a WebEx or we looked at the same, probably it'd be better if we were seeing the same. I don't know which software platform, you know, Tamara, you're used to using, but as I'm looking at these, just getting the look and feel of what we're trying to go for. If we're really going to put this push for 1,000, the how it looks and maybe reach out to some people that we think should be part of the network that are not yet. I think the CSEP phase 2 personnel are great candidates, but there's other people. And really trying to understand from them why they're not here. And what kind of services or opportunities, or maybe they just aren't aware of what we're doing and what value there is.
Are you talking about the members of the Clean Network?
Well, so it's kind of I'm talking about two things, and they're coupled. One is, so you look at the Facebook page, and, you know, the main image is a picture of a research vessel in the middle of the ocean on a sunny day, sunset. You know, like, is that the image that we want to say why you should be part of the Climate Literacy Network, you know, or is it should be images of, you know, some great program doing work with kids. Like,
so you're talking about sort of during one of our sessions, just sort of doing an overview. So one of the things we can use, which is really easy, is I can put together a join.me session where it'll be up on my screen, but then I can turn control over to anybody who wants to you know, that needs to point out something. So we can try using that.
But you want to switch to Google Hangout, because Google Hangout, you'd probably get more people. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, but really it's more like what are those called? Focus groups, where you really just go, you're asking questions and hearing responses and seeing, you know, oh, wow, maybe we could do that. That works. But it's a two-way dialogue with people, and I think it would be valuable to have some people who are, you know, in our community that aren't in the network, and really try to understand what value they would have being joining here, or else, you know, why would they join?
Joining specifically the Facebook page or joining the Clean Network?
Network, but I'm thinking that, you know, if we're really going to scale, maybe this is an untested hypothesis, but I would think our social media space is one of our most engaging growth factors. You know, there's also the clean community on the website, but, you know, that's a harder lift to for an infrastructure perspective than the Facebook space. Maybe I should be more transparent about my thinking.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, like SlideShare, remember, we've had this exact conversation before, is when you go to these conferences and you're a convener, you're looking down at a file folder full of presentations of really rich and impressive work that everybody's put together, and then it goes back, you know, to nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but there's tools out there that are part of Facebook and others that kind of weave that all together. But unless we utilize those more effectively, it's going to be a harder thing for us to do.
So is SlideShare a place where we could ask people to put their presentations?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. So my AMS climate literacy talk last year has 1,374 viewers. Mm-hmm. I've looked at that. You know, so I mean, people—it's a social space for people to look at and try and understand what we're doing, and it's easy to do and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I think there's something, but it's an easy tool that kind of pulls all these threads together, as opposed to, you know, asking Scott to upload I don't know how many, 140 posters or presentations. I don't know if Scott's all that crazy about that idea.
We wouldn't be asking him to do that. We have more valuable things to do with this.
Exactly.
So I like the idea of, the sort of self-service part of that and just simply creating a space that people can upload the slides when they feel comfortable with that.
Yep.
When they're, So we should, that should be something, and maybe that's something that we can talk about in September in that first call on
mm-hmm.
the service.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah. That's good.
But Frank, as a Climate Literacy Network person, would you be willing on your SlideShare post to post a link to the Clean Facebook page?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not really all that familiar with how to do this, but I'm I'm willing to explore how do we kind of connect all these pieces together more intuitively so that the SlideShare connects to the Clean Facebook page in a direct way. I just don't know how you do that. Other than if basically the Clean Network had a SlideShare space and we got permission to upload it in there, then it would all fit together. Whereas if I put it in my SlideShare account, it doesn't necessarily show up in the Clean. I don't know if there's a way to tag, I don't know if there's a way to do that.
Yeah.
I can probably ask somebody here who has some social media experience if she knows the mechanism.
Sure. Yeah, whatever the smartest way to move this forward is, I think we're going into a next busy season between October through April. That's when we do tons of conferences, tons of meetings, tons of presentations, tons of talks, and let's try and capture more of it this year than we've done ever before. I think it's a secondary goal to growing the number of people. But if we do that, then there's more value for that, the 500 people to join us. Or what are we at? We're 600 people to join the network. I think the more content and social exchange we have, the more likely they are to want to be part of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking we could have a voluntary tagline that says, find out, whatever it says, get more, find out more about climate literacy and energy of the Climate Literacy and Energy Network here, and just ask people to voluntarily put it on their materials, people in the network. I could, starting to ask people to put it on the end of slide shares or emails.
Get it out there.
I think people might do it for the campaign. Just, you're asking people to maybe do it from now till December.
To add this, the tagline.
Some little tagline with a link.
Yeah.
You see that all the time with the things coming from Mission Blue and other organizations. There's always when there's advocates for that organization, they have a little tag at the end. I unfortunately missed the beginning when you talked about the who is running the Ocean Literacy Network. I'm going to now have to listen to the recording to see if I can catch who you said.
Well, I was specifically referring to Sarah Schettinger, but Scott, you know that community way better than me.
Yeah, I've been part of that for about 10 years.
Oh, okay.
So Martha, feel free to, if you have any questions about that group, just let me know. I can connect you up with folks there.
And okay.
I take care of the website for the Ocean Literacy Group. So.
Wow. And I have your email, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, feel free to join the call tomorrow at 2:00, and I'll wait to hear from Tamara about it. And then I'm going to thank you for this conversation, because I'm going to revise the strategy and add in some Facebook and some of these other ideas about what the mechanism of the campaign is.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Excellent.
That's great. Okay. Anything else?
I think that's it.
All
right.
Yeah.
Well, we will We will start planning for the fall in terms of addressing these issues. We will have our discussion tomorrow about the messaging and moving forward the campaign, and we'll loop in everybody when we move a little bit more on that. Okay?
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.